Oh, dear. Thank you, Jim. It's good to be here. I was figuring today, your speakers are 209 years old. We've been in ministry 160 years. We survived the church. Jim and Barbara Lassiter, stand up. I want you to meet this couple there. They're involved in something so big you can't even talk about it. They're working with a church in Ivory Coast with 200,000 members. When we began to work with them some years ago, they had only 10,000. They're growing. And someday we'll be able to tell you what they're up to, but meet them in the meanwhile. I don't know of any two people I'd rather be with than these two people who absolutely shatter my self-confidence and challenge me. I want to be like both of them when I grow up. And Levy Knox, thank you. I heard that sermon, I wept. I want to make some observations before I say what I'm going to say. I'm not even sure you can tell when the observations stop and what I want to say begins. Just in case I forget it, it isn't that I haven't had anything to say. I want to go six directions. And I've made a decision. I'm going in all six of them. I don't know how this is going to look. I don't care, Levy. Let me mention two books right away. I don't know, you may have recommended this to me, Daddy. I don't know. The Unshakable Kingdom and the Unchanging Person. It's the greatest entry-level book in the kingdom. You ought to have one. I ain't going to give you one. Going to charge you $150 for them, but off today. A good deal. We'll let you have them for $15. This man wrote this book when he was 86, in his 86th and 87th years. Radio man in California called him and said, "Stanley, you need to write a book on the kingdom. You've been a consummate kingdom man." And he respected him highly, and he said, "All right, I'll read the New Testament again, see what God has to say." This is the result. I have read it a dozen times, most of it, more than that. I've flat worn out two of them. They fell apart. You can crack it open any time, under any circumstances, at any place, and get life. So it's super. Do you have one of these, Levy? Does your bodyguard have one? Step up, get it. I met him back there, and I want to be on his good side. I think you better, too. Bob Mumford is coming to see me. He lived just at that time, a couple of hours down the coast. And he said to the Lord, "I want to give my friend Jack Taylor a gift. What shall I take him?" His eyes stopped on a book in his library, and he took it off the shelf and realized he had not read it, and the name of it was The Kingdom. Just The Kingdom. He began to read it. Greatly regretted his resolve to give it to me. But he did it anyway. And marked it up a bit in the process. And it's 110 years old. It was published 110 years ago. It has life. And this man, George Dana Boardman, was the younger, was the son of a father by the same name and called the elder. He was an associate of Adoniram Judson and died early, a relatively young man. And when George Dana, the younger, was only six. His mother, when Ann Judson died, his mother married Adoniram Judson later, and he grew up under that great influence, came home, came to America, and in the process of the later years of his life, wrote this book. Now, I believe, my opinion for what it may mean, this is the greatest exegetical book on the kingdom. I really have not seen another. Whole pages, two or three pages, are worth the price of the book, so buy it, okay? You have one of these, Levy? You got this? Let your bodyguard catch it. I don't want to hit you and be sued. Or worse than that, your bodyguard get after me. Good. I want to give a text in case I'm accused of not preaching from the Bible. Psalm 103:19, and here it is. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Just a page or two from the center of your Bible, depending on how many extras you have at the beginning and the end, is the fact you cannot live in peace without. The measure to which you pay attention to the prime fact in the universe will be the measure of your joy, productivity, and peace. It must be so indelibly written on the tablet of your heart and in your brain that when you're not overwhelmingly repeating it to yourself or in the atmosphere, it is there just beneath expression. Right now, any anxiety you have can be laid at the door of forgetting this fact. The premise, the prime fact of life on the planet is God rules, always has, always will. And at this present throbbing moment in your life, despite any things you may be having from the dark side or whatever prods or ambushes or disappointments or unraveling is going on, God is ruling. He does something greater than snatch you out of situations. He is with you in the situation, guaranteeing that as you obey Him, it's going to happen anyway, but the more rapid your obedience is, the more rapid He fits it in to a pattern of victory in your life so that it winds up that you're in better shape after it's over than you were when it started. I'm looking in the faces of 2 dozen, 3 dozen, maybe more than that tonight, who have been hounded out of seeking the kingdom of God because you started and something bad happened. And I don't know where I'm going, but I need to tell you a couple of things. I don't know when this started, I can't remember. Soon after or just before it began, this study of the kingdom, my wife went into a period of silence. And I was mystified. I was absolutely mystified. My children were mystified. Friends were mystified. She wasn't traveling much with me those days. I would come in. She would talk on the phone. I would come in, a few words from the airport where she picked me up. And there was, after then, total silence. I don't know whether you've lived in the house with anybody who didn't talk. But somebody was talking. The enemy was talking. The demons were talking. My own mind was talking. Somewhere about that time, I began to see the centrality of my text. If God rules, He rules over something. Whatever it is, whether it's a place or an idea, a sphere, a realm, or what else you may call it, it is a domain of somebody ruling. It's a kingdom. And I began to feed on that. And one day, she came back. She began to talk. Never did learn the mystery of it all. But I couldn't have gotten through it without the kingdom. I'm telling this for a purpose, not at all for any other reason than I'll state in just a moment. But it's because in part that I know there are people here that are swamped by circumstances. You can't become a serious student of what we're talking about until you settle the issue of what is this about? What is God doing? Why am I feeling like I'm feeling? But I can tell you this, wouldn't have made it if I hadn't decided that God was the king of a kingdom. I mean, really, I knew that. You could have asked me. But do you know it's one thing to know it and another thing to really know it so well that you can't think of anything without suddenly an answer coming to that anything? If it's the wrong thing, that is the right thing. God is in charge. You need to say that until it gets through to your brain. I know, you're about to lose the house, but God is in charge. You don't know where it's coming from. In a month, you can't tell where you're going to be. You've lost your job. You're hounded. You're beginning to believe the talking heads of television. You believe every once in a while a few lines in the newspaper, and you're in trouble. But God rules. That's what He does. I asked the people when I was here before to tell me, what do you believe God does for a living? I mean, you laugh. God has to do something for a living. Not to make a living, but a living thing that is really alive has purpose. What does He do for a living? He rules. It's a full-time job. He has to handle all of you, then all of the planets and all of the galaxies. And we know now there are billions of them. Billions and billions with trillions of stars in them. And He rules over all of that and then has to put up with you. He's ruling. He knows exactly where He's going. He's set the pattern from the beginning. And being God, He's going to get His way. Now you're going to have to decide that and swing into the manner in which He does it. So she came back. She was healed of the bipolar disorder, healed. And there was a day when her big toe on the right foot. It had been discolored for some time, but now it began to look ugly. And the whole outshoot of it was, I took her to the foot doctor. He looked at it, I know now. He knew what it was. He cut the nail off, pierced down into the toe, and got a little root or something. And I was coming to a conference in Chattanooga with Charles Caron, and the phone rang, and she'd gotten the report. It was melanoma, stage 4. With the possibility of 75%, it had already gone through her entire body. I thought melanoma was a skin cancer. It is. But after 20 trips to the Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa, Florida, she was given a clean bill of health when we came home. And something dreadful happened. She was most prayed for. Our first son's meeting was during this time. Some of you were there. And her right leg began to swell and look grotesque. And they took a biopsy of it, and the doctor told me she has only a few days to live. And we had put money down on a condo and permanent home. We were in a little postage stamp one, pleasant and nice. But we'd put money down. I walked into our hospital room and told her the report. I said, you know, we could back up on this. Honey, we don't have to buy this. She said, no, let's get it. And if I get to enjoy it a week, a month, a year, or not at all, you'll have it and the kids will enjoy it and friends will enjoy it. And others. She died on the 23rd of January, 2001. I moved into the beautiful condo the 22nd of February, a little less than a month later. I was lying on the bed with her when she breathed her last breaths and was gone. I had never felt or sensed the presence of God as He manifested Himself in that room. I figured I'd never come to that again. Not anything like that. What I'm telling you is, I would not have made it had I not decided that it was literally true. I can't explain the mystery, but I know the absolute history of mystery, and God still rules. And I was alone. 47 and a half years we spent together. And so I just moved right back into ministry, and God began to bless. A little while later, met an old friend. We fell in love. And married, knowing that she had a history of cancer. It came back and with zeal and fervor. And she died 21 months after we married. This was difficult because it was so soon. And the circumstances were quite complex. We had taken a cruise, a gift. Well, not a gift. I was one of the three chaplains on a world cruise on a brand new ship. It cost $50,000 a person. Somebody recommended me. And we were driving around the community and running errands, and she heard the conversation, and I was white, and I heard it, and when I explained it to her, she said, oh, let's go. You see, she was losing weight, and had three world-class restaurants on the ship. You could eat anytime you want to, day or night. And she could gain weight just before we left on the trip. It was announced by the doctor that she was, that the cancer was back. And she died in February of 04. Shattered. We spent 14 days, the victims of her, incarcerated by her condition in Tahiti. It's a nice place. But not when somebody's dying that you love. I remember being on the floor one day in a fetal position. I said, God, I can't understand the language. My wife is in a deeper coma now. She at first could speak. We worked out a sort of a basic way of conversation, a blink of the one eye that would open. Squeeze of the hand. A day or two before, she had sunk into a deeper coma. I don't have anybody. Nobody around here understands. I don't speak their language. They don't speak mine, and now we can't talk. And God said, you have me, and I rule. There's nothing off my screen. You're not a victim here. Got a call from her son. And son and daughter-in-law prayed with me, a prayer like I've never heard. I got off the floor, and God gave a command to walk to the hospital the next day. It was about a mile walk, fast walking. He said, walk in that room, take command, kick every demon out of the place, and pray for your wife. I did. And at the end of, near the end of my prayer, I began to hear, not a moan, it was more than that, it was, She was saying amen to my prayer. Don't ever hold back saying something to somebody, around somebody who's in a coma. Their spirit man, their spirit person is listening. She opened her eye and began to speak to me in whole sentences. I thought God was healing her. And she'd been turned down on a move by the folks who have the monopoly on moving sick people home. They move bodies, but when a person is terminally ill, they don't move them. So they had refuses. I was committed to stay as long as I needed to, with all the expenses. And they turned me down once, twice, another time. So I used the what was a substitute for an envoy of the government. And we got an okay to use Air Tahiti. And they found out about it and came down on me. Came by to see me to cuss me out in French. And through the interpreter, I said, something you don't understand. I promised to take my wife home, and I'm taking her home alive. It was quite impossible. So believed. Well, my son came then, all the way from America, and walked into the room and said, Dad, we're going home. I said, not anytime soon, son. He said, yep, we're going home. I got a plane out of here Thursday, and you're going to beat me home. Shortly after he got there, I got a call from the company. And they said, Mr. Taylor, we're ready to take your wife home. I said, what happened? They said, we've been monitoring her improvement, and she's airworthy, and we're ready to take her. And we took her home. The doctors poured over her. He was a personal friend. She had taught his children. She was the lead teacher in the school. And 5 days after every specialist he knew had done everything they could do, he walked in weeping, a doctor weeping. And he said, "Jack, there's nothing we can do." She died in hospice 10 days later. Now what I'm telling you is this. The knowledge in your soul that God rules will get you through anything. And the more you realize it and the more you declare it, the likelihood of getting through it sooner, better, is very high. Now, I want to link that to a scripture and then I think I'll be through. Paul had been by in Berea and had preached, and those had committed themselves as disciples. And he came by them later to encourage them. I want to read a translation that you probably don't have. He came by encouraging them to continue in the faith and by telling them it is necessary to pass through many troubles on your way into the kingdom of God. Now, if I don't get anything over to you, you need to know this. The study of the kingdom, if you please, I hate to call it a doctrine, is not a doctrine among other doctrines. It is the truth of God that gives light on all other doctrines. It is the whole greater than the sum of the individual parts. Everything you think you know, when the kingdom appears, you know more about it than you knew there was to know. In the coming years, the greatest truths we learn are going to be right beneath the truths we think we know everything about. Salvation and grace and atonement and eschatology and personal growth and every other one of the thousands of individual parts will be given light as the template of the whole, the kingdom of God, is dropped into your life and situation. And I want to do this for those who are experiencing maybe more than I guessed, but it doesn't make any difference. You lock this truth away in your heart. The devil hates the kingdom. He's not worried about the church until the church begins to mess around with the kingdom. He is not worried about he's not worried about any of you or us until we begin to seek and find and sustain our interest in the kingdom of God. When you begin to taste the kingdom, the devil has a very bad hair day. He is angry about the whole thing. And I'm not saying to you that these things happened to me because I entered the kingdom. God knew I was going through these and got me in enough truth to get me through them, and not just through them, but over them. And listen, God never takes anything away from you and gives you less than you lost in the losing of it. God led Frida and me together, miraculous means, in 2004. And there she is in all her splendor, sitting right there. Honey, raise your hand, both hands. God brought us together. Just for your interest, I was coached, I was prodded, I was made miserable by emails of another widow who said to me, recommending Frida, "You need to look in on her, you need to see Frida, you need just 10 times, and I didn't even acknowledge it. And just before we went to a meeting for the third time in the city in which she now was, this gal reminded me, "She's going to be there, and you're going to need to see her." And I was standing there praising the Lord on the first night. And I knew she was over here to my right and back there. And I just ambled out into the aisle, sauntered and into the aisle. That's when you cover up purpose by casuality. And so I walked back where she was, and I said to her, I asked her, do you think it'd be all right for us to get together this week? And so I repeated that on Monday, and we went out to have lunch, and we were together that night with the staff, with my team and all, and she took me back to the hotel. We had another date on Tuesday. I asked her to marry me that afternoon, and we got married 2 months later. You know what she told me? This is miraculous. She said, when you turned and walked into the aisle, I didn't know whether you were going to the book table, the restroom, or outside. I didn't know. But something in my mind said, if he asks you to marry him, you will say yes. I'm not complaining with God's treatment. Did you get that? I'm not complaining. I've had troubles, but I've been through them. I love the song, Through It All. I'm not so happy about in it all, but I'm happy that in it all, if you'll be faithful, you'll get through it all. That's kingdom truth. So I think this is all you probably need to know for tonight. I want to look into your faces and say to you, look, he didn't promise you a rose garden. In fact, I think I remember him saying something ridiculous like this. In the world, you will have tribulation. He really said that. But he said something even more ridiculous. But rejoice. Okay. Do you have any reason in mind? Yeah, because I have overcome them. There is nothing in your present. There is nothing in your future that is bigger than the promises and the power of God in the kingdom. And I think I can tell you this on good authority. I think it's locked in the pages of the scripture all the way through. Listen. It's a good thing, David said, that I've been tempted. It's a good thing for me to be in trouble. Because after trouble, the whole world I live in is enlarged. I was helped because I was troubled. And rejoice. It is more important that you keep your eyes on the fact that he rules. He is sovereign. He's absolutely sovereign. I came out of that 14-day night, I call it, in Tahiti. 14 days of darkness and night. I came out with four things about God. A lot of other things I knew, but these fastened themselves to my soul, and I've never been the same. The sovereignty of God, and the absolute sovereignty of God, the unconditional love of God, the all-sufficient grace of God, and the endless mercies of God. And I found those to be real in the deepest trough of darkness I had ever known. I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't think anything worse than what I've been through is ahead of me. But I know there's some darkness and I know there's some pain. But I want to tell you, God is ruling and nothing happens apart from His approving rule. And that means that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. So let me just make a couple of more observations. Right now, everything that's happened to you, everything that has happened to you, everything that is happening to you, everything that will happen to you is moving you toward the kingdom. And the sooner you say yes and embrace the pleasure of knowing the sovereignty of God, the sooner it'll be revealed and you'll be rejoicing. You can rejoice on faith now because it's going to happen later. Right, Kathy? Amen. So I want us to end like this, if it's all right, Pastor. I want those who've been distracted. In fact, you've had moments of worry and anxiety about monies and about the demons that have been loosed in America by all the confusion and all the division and all the breaking of the codes of honor on both sides of the aisle in politics, all over. And there is confusion roaming the land. There are demons marketing division and marketing accusation and marketing dishonor all over the place. And that's not kingdom. And we don't have to put up with it. And the first thing we can do is settle the issue inside us in a culture of honor sponsored by the King and His kingdom. So, I want you to stand with me. At the center of God's heart is a kingdom. He's ruling and He's doing it well. One thing we're going to learn about the kingdom is that the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord, and the earth He's given to the sons of men. And the manner in which we rule is the manner in which the culture of the earth is run. And the culture of heaven in us, in the kingdom, is stronger than any evil culture in any ethnic group, in any nation, anywhere. There is no darkness too great anywhere, but that the light of God... How fast does darkness travel? It doesn't even travel. Once the light comes, it's gone. It's not just crippled, it's dead, it's non-existent. I'd hate to be darkness. It's delicate. All you have to do is turn on a little light and it's gone. Doesn't exist. Get the darkness out of your soul. Get the darkness out of your voice. Get the darkness out of your eyes. The King is on His throne. I want you to be honest with me now. If you can say this, and I've been a little discouraged lately. I've been wondering about my job, about my income, about... I'm disgusted with my own worry and concern, and I know better. And I want you to leave here tonight with a good confession. And so this is what I'd like for you to do, just where you are. Just lift up your hand and say, "Yep, that's me. I've had this." Lift your hand up. All over. All over. All over. I know. It seems reputation, confession is good for the soul, but sometimes bad for the reputation. Just lay your reputation aside. Which is more important to you, to get free? Well, you don't have an option. Get free. I want every one of you to come right here and stand tightly, tightly, close together as you can. We're going to surround you with the people of God who've been there and done that, didn't work. And we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. And God is going to invade any of the darkness, all of the darkness, with His light. Just crowd in closer, 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 closer. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, my. My, my. Just come on. Come all the way around. See, we're going to get this out of the way, and light is going to come. Light is going to blast and do something. I want the rest of you now to just build a wall around these with bodies. Levi, come. I want you to pray. I want to pray. I want you to pray.
Yes.
And then we're going to make a good confession together. Folk, I just happen to believe this, that God is here and He rules.
Yes.
And He can do whatever He needs to do experientially. Experientially, it can happen to you tonight, right here, right now.
Amen.
and right. You don't have to put up with it any longer. Yes. And he will give you the intellectual, the emotional equipment to be so reminded that whatever the enemy causes has so far worked to bring you into darkness will trigger your praise, and he'll be sorry you ever brought it up. We need somebody on the front side. Just slip around. Everybody, Jim, come on up, and let's just pray for these. Levy,
you guys who are praying for them, come get
yeah,
in front of
just come get in front too. All the way here.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah,
to get
yeah,
in front of you
yeah.
And behind you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So some of you back there, can you come on around through and let's lay hands on some of these people and pray for them.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, some of y'all come on through here.
Okay, Levy, lead us in prayer. God,
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you tonight. A divine presence. The kingdom has arrived. The kingdom is within us. As we look within, we begin to see the Christ in among us all. The hope of glory, the mystery of the one that dwells within us. The healer, the deliverer, the restorer. The one that's brought us hope and faith to come to a new dimension. Lord, begin to move as you, by your spirit. We thank you and agree together that every depression, every weight, every burden, every confusion that seems to show up in different times in the lives of your people tonight. We release our faith and turn in agreement and we declare God is in charge.
Yes, Lord.
God rules. Yes. God reigns. Hallelujah. Every knee must bow. Every circumstance, situation must bow its knee to the name that Jesus Christ is Lord. We release our faith now, Lord. And we say clarity will come. Release will come right now. Understanding, enlightenment, spiritual revelation of the Christ among us all. The hope of glory. Begin to release now. We thank you for the healing and restoration. I begin to hear as the man of God has spoken. As the man of God says, through much tribulation, we enter into the kingdom. Everything that you're faced with, everything that you've been challenged with has been now pointing you right into the kingdom. The rule and the reign, the righteousness, the peace, the joy, the power and the glory and the healing power of Jesus. Now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, dwells and realized that he is now bringing forth that which he has already determined, that with his stripes you were healed, that you were restored. And now, Lord, we thank you for freedom, that God rules and reigns over all. Hallelujah. We declare now every crisis, every situation that appeared to be real, but it's not in the light of the light of the gospel. If it's not lined up to truth, we agree together now, Lord, that you begin to move mightily, heal every heart, every mind, every family, every emotion. We release now the power and the presence in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Father, in Jesus' name, I join my brother. I join my brother, these brothers right now, declaring that nothing under your feet need be over our head.
That's right.
And all of this is under your feet.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
No weapon formed against us will continue to prosper. None.
Thank you, Lord. That's right.
In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I confess for these, not just an emotional release tonight, not just the breaking of the damaging work of demonic powers, and our just